My Life in Christ, second part, second book, starting page 62. Great is thy love, O Lord. Thou dost wholly spend thyself out of love for me. I gaze upon the cross and marvel at thy love for me and to the world, for the cross is the evident token of thy love for us. Greater love has no man than this, that a man may lay down his life for his friends. St. John. Thy life-giving mysteries, Lord, serve as a perpetual, glorious proof of thy love for us sinners. For this, thy divine blood was broken for me, for all of us. And this blood was poured out for me, for all of us. Lord, I glorify the wonders accomplished by thy holy mysteries upon thy believers to whom I have administered them. I glorify the innumerable cures of which I was witness. I glorify their all-saving action in myself. I glorify thy mercy to me, revealed to me and them and through them, and thy life-giving power acting in them, Lord. In return for this, thy great love, grant that I may love thee with all my heart and my neighbor as myself. Grant that I may also love my enemies, and not only those who love me. Lord, teach us to live in mutual love, and strengthen this love in us by thy Holy Spirit. Subdue the outbursts of the passions which hinder heavenly evangelical love, and make our hearts dead to earthly delights. Grant, Lord, that I may ever prefer thy grace, thy peace, thy righteousness and holiness to all earthly blessings, and that I may abide in it all the days of my life and to my last breath. Want of spiritual education, of the development, of the softening and amendment of the heart is 1,000 times more culpable than the want of mental education. For a mentally uneducated man is in darkness and is deserving the indulgence and pity, whilst an educated man, given up to the passions and vices, to malice, pride, scorn, envy, gluttony, self-hating, drunkenness, covetousness, fornication, and other passions, which all, with all his knowledge, and also with the knowledge of the will of God, is a man whose heart is hardened, and who is dead to God. For he does not apply the principles he has learned to practice. He does not fulfill the will of God, but transgresses it with even greater fearlessness and insolence than the uneducated. The uneducated man's simplicity of heart, meekness, gentleness, humility, silence, and patience are dearer to God than all our knowledge, all our external polish, that all our studies expressions, all our feigned courtesy, that all our lengthy prayers, that all our artful speeches, even sins themselves, being sins of ignorance, are more excusable in the undereducated. Therefore, respect simple want of education and learn from it that which is not possessed by the so-styled educated, that is, simplicity, gentleness, patience, and other virtues. The uneducated are babes in Christ, to whom the Lord sometimes reveals his mysteries. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, St. John. These are the words of Jesus Christ concerning the apostles. This is a great praise to them. In what does it consist? In the fact that the apostles living in the world were strangers to it, strangers to the attachments, to its attachments, did not seek and either its glory or riches or happiness or tranquility, but were like beings of another world, the heavenly one. They meditated upon the cared for heavenly things, and sought after incorruptible beauty, heavenly glory, incorruptible riches, heavenly joy, and heavenly rest in God, and union with Him, whilst we sinners are of this world, because we seek the glory of this world, material riches, health, length of life, the employment of the blessings of this world, earthly tranquility, earthly joys, but all our misfortunes, passions, temptations, and failure in the Christian life proceed from attachment to the world and its goods. Why is it necessary to pray at home and go to church to attend divine services? And why is it necessary for you to eat and drink and walk in the fresh air every day, or to do work every day in order to support the life of the body and strengthen it? It is absolutely necessary to pray in order to support and stimulate the life of the soul, to strengthen the soul, which is sick with sins, to cleanse it, just as you employ certain kinds of food and drink to cleanse the body from injurious humors or impurities. If, therefore, you do not pray, then you behave most unwisely and not advisedly supporting, gratifying, and strengthening your body in every way, but leaving your soul in neglect. Every man is due, for he consists of soul and body. It is better not to pass on the words of reproach that have been transmitted to us by anyone, but to keep silence concerning them, or transmit words of love and goodwill. Then our spirit will be tranquil. But to pass on the words of animosity and envy is very hurtful. They often produce in the impatient and self-loving men to whom they refer a spiritual tempest, rekindle exist in extinct enmity, and occasion dissension. We must have Christian patience and wisdom of the serpent. Why is it that one evil word, one word of calumny, produces the most disagreeable impression upon us, agitates us to the depths of our souls, whilst on the contrary, sometimes thousands of good words, for instance concerning God and His works in the world, do not reach our heart at all, and are lost in the air? The devil comes and catches away the word, sows in the heart of men, and it is also he on the other side who sows and grows in our hearts the seeds of evil, and does not miss the slightest opportunity of implanting enmity and envy for our neighbor in our hearts. One glance of our neighbor at us, often quite innocent but appearing suspicious to us, is sufficient to give rise to the feeling of enmity in us towards him. And therefore, do not let us take to heart any evil occasion to us, intentionally or unintentionally, by our neighbor, for we know the author of it, and that the whole world lies in wickedness from its beginning. But let us bear every affront offended us serenely, praying for those who offend us, as for our benefactors, for even in their affronts we may often hear words of goodwill towards us, although not proceeding from a good heart. May the Lord teach them and not impute their behavior unto us as sin to them, and let us be more careful so as not to give place to the devil. In this life, we sin continually, and at the same time, we are so self-loving that we cannot endure our faults and sins to be reproved, especially before others. But in the future life, our transgressions will be reproved before the whole world. Remembering this terrible judgment seat, let us bear reproof here humbly and gently, and let us correct ourselves of all our faults and sins, and let us especially bear reproof from our superiors, and may the Lord teach them to reprove our faults, not maliciously, but lovingly, and in a spirit of meekness. Love us to be reproved of sin by others. Love to be reproved of sins by others, justly or unjustly here, in the preference to being reproved at the dreadful judgment seat before the whole world, before all the angels and men, oh, the unbearable fear and shame of thy terrible judgment seat, Lord. We must pity every evil man and not be angered by him, and not thus gratify Satan. We must look upon every enemy simply as upon God's creation, as upon one created after the image of God, and as upon our own member, and not breathe malice against him, and that he has not become a devil. For every one who breathes malice becomes a devil himself, while he is angered. We must always be meek, gentle, kind-hearted, patient, as though we did not notice the malice of others. We must overcome evil or wicked people with good, by kindness, benefits. May God deliver us from evil suspiciousness, through which everything in our neighbors has the worst construction put upon it. His moments, gestures, look, voice, step, and every word. I thank the Lord for bestowing new life upon me each time when, with tears of repentance and gratitude, I celebrate the divine liturgy and partake of the most pure and life-giving mysteries. To thy holy mysteries I owe the prolongation of my existence until now, the purity of my ways, and my good reports against thy people, amongst thy people. May thy great name be glorified more and more in me and in all thy people. May they be called by thy great name throughout the whole world. Thy kingdom come. The kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, in all our hearts, as thou hast said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Corinthians from the Old Testament. And may thy will, thy holy, most wise, O good, most perfect and most blessed will be done in earth, in all thy people, and in me a sinner, as it is in heaven. For our own will is erring, short-sighted, sinful, destructive, unloving, evil, envious, proud, slothful, luxury-loving, money-loving, and avaricious. Poor people's need is persistent in its requirements and is sometimes even shameless. So also our passions are obstinate and persistent, insolent and shameless. Fornication, malice, for instance, avarice, covetousness, envy, pride, theft, heresy, dissent, superstition, idolatry. But let us yield to the reasonably persistent request of the needy, poor, and suffering. It will serve to our salvation, to our eternal bliss. For as the poor and the suffering compel us to compassion, so let us mutually compel ourselves to almsgiving. Let us compel ourselves to good works while there is yet time, as sin compels us to that which we continually transgress the anger God, and increase for ourselves the food and the fire of the Gehenna, which by degree already begins to be kindled here in our hearts, and for shows to us the eternal fire, where there shall be everlasting lamentation and gnashing of teeth. The kingdom of heaven suffered its violence, and the violent taken by force. St. Matthew. The enemy likewise endeavors to force into Gehenna all the imprudent, unbelieving, unrepentant, and those who are passionately attached to the blessings of this life. Why, after every 6 days, in a day of rest, is the day of rest observed, in order that we may continually remember that after the labors of this present life, the day of eternal rest will come. For in accordance with the apostles, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, and Sunday betokens the day of general resurrection, after which a day of rest shall come for all those who have done good work in the present life in Christ Jesus. All offerings and charity to the poor will not replace love for our neighbor. If there is no love in the heart, therefore, in bestowing charity, we must be careful that it should be bestowed lovingly, from a sincere heart, willingly, and not with a feeling of vexation against the poor. The very good charity shows that it should be an act or an offering of the heart, and it should be bestowed with feeling of or pity for the unfortunate condition of the poor person, and with a feeling of or contrition for our sins, for cleansing with the charity is bestowed, for alms, according to the scripture, shall purge away all sin. He who bestows charity unwillingly and with vexation, avariciously, and does not recognize his sin, and has not learned to know himself, charity is first of all a benefit to those who bestow it. Be not overcome of evil your neighbors, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. Chiefly by prayer for those who do evil unto you. Let us commit ourselves and each other in all our life with all our defects, mutual offenses unto Christ our God. Let us not take vengeance upon anyone ourselves, not by a single thought or intention, but let us leave vengeance to God. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Romans. We must love our enemies. It is the devil who teaches and incites them to bear us enmity. Theater lulls the Christian's life into sleep, destroying it, complicating to the life of Christians the character of the life of heathens. Communicating the theater lulls the Christian life to sleep, destroys it, communicating to the life of Christians, the character of life of the heathen. They all slumbered and slept. St. Matthew. This disastrous sleep is produced, among other things, also by the theater, and now, of course, by TV and computers. And what besides the sciences taught in the spirit of hedonism, were the cares carried to excess, love of gain, ambition and sensuality. The theater is a school of this world and of the prince of this world, that is of the devil, but sometimes he is transformed into an angel of light in order to more easily tempt people who are not far-seeing. He sometimes introduces an apparently moral play on to the stage, but this is done in order that everyone should proclaim and repeat that the theater or TV is a most moral institution, and that it is not less worth frequenting than the church, and even perhaps more so, because in church everything is the same, whilst in the theater or TV there is a variance of plays, scenery, costumes, and actors. In order to test yourself whether you love your neighbor in accordance with the gospel, pay attention to yourself at the time when others offend you, abuse you, mock you, or do not render you due respect unto you, and which is customary to social intercourse, or when your subordinates err against the rules of the service and are negligent. If you remain calm on such occasions and are not filled with spirit of enmity, hatred, and patience, if you continue to love those persons as much as previously before their offenses or negligence, then you do love your neighbor in accordance with the gospel. But if you become angry, agitated, then you do not do so. If ye salute your brothers only, what do ye more than others? St. Matthew. As we are strangers, sojourners, and travelers to the heavenly kingdom, we must not burden ourselves with worldly care, nor become attached to earthly blessings, riches, pleasures, honors, in order that these cares and attachments should not hinder us in the hour of death, nor make it shameful. The Christians, even here on earth, must accustom himself to live the heavenly life in fasting, in renunciation, in prayer, love, meekness, gentleness, patience, courage, and mercy. How hard will be the hour of death to be to the man who in his lifetime made idols of money, or food, or drink, or earthly honors. In that hour none of these things shall serve him, whilst his heart, being strongly attached to them, does not possess the true treasure, which would give him life, that is virtue, and therefore, in order to die more easily, and we must all die, we must not love anything in the world, and having food and raiment, let us therewith content. Timothy. In church, I am truly as if in heaven upon earth. Here I see the images of the Lord and the most pure Mother of God, of the holy angels. Here is God's throne. Here is the life-giving cross. Here is the eternal gospel, the word of God, by which all things were created. Here are the images of the saints. I view myself with the visible presence of God, of his mother, of the heavenly powers, and of all the saints. This is truly heaven and earth. Here I know that I am, and view myself indeed a member of Christ and his church, especially during the celebration of the most heavenly liturgy and the communion of the holy mysteries of the body and blood of Christ. Oh, how I ought to live, think, feel, speak, in order to worthily be in this heaven and earth. I ought to live worthily on a high calling, to which I am called by the grace of the much endowing God. How I ought to live, in what meekness, humility, purity, abstinence, in order to worthily name my Lady, the most pure Mother of God, my Master, the Lord of glory. Lord, make me worthy of such an abode. I desire to live forth in the of the Christian calling, but find no power in myself to attain this. Sin unceasingly tempts and wars against my soul. Undoubtedly, in the simplicity of your heart upon the Lord God, also upon the angels and the saints, who by the grace of God and through their association with you or union with God, and the simplicity of their being, most speedily with a rapidity of lightning, both hear and fulfill our prayers in accordance with the will of God. To love God with all our heart means not to have any attachments to anything earthly, and to surrender all our heart to the Lord God, fulfilling His will in everything, and not our own. To love God with all the soul means always to have all our mind in Him, to establish all His heart, all our heart in Him, and to submit all our will to His will in all circumstances of life, both joyful and sorrowful. To love God with all our strength means to love Him, so that neither any opposing power, nor any circumstances of life, neither tribulation, nor distress, nor persecutions, nor peril, nor the sword, nor height, nor death, Romans, shall be able to separate us from the love of God. To love God with all our understanding means always to think of God and of His mercy, long-suffering, holiness, wisdom, omnipotence, and His works, and to withdraw ourselves from every means, from thoughts of vanity, and from evil recollections. To love God means to love righteousness with all our soul, and to hate iniquity, as it is said, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity." To love God means to hate oneself, that is, our old carnal man. If any man come to me and hate not his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And us, in our thoughts, in our hearts, and in our will, there is the evil power extraordinary, living and active, which always, every day, and in every moment, endeavors to estrange us from God, suggesting thoughts, desires, cares, intentions, undertakings, words, and acts of vanity, exciting the passions and forcibly instigating us to them, namely, to malice, envy, covetousness, pride, ambition, vanity, slothfulness, disobedience, obstinacy, deceit, and intemperance. To love God means to fulfill His commandment. If a man love me, he will keep my words. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying. St. John. What a wealth the Lord has of light, air, water, earth, and fire. Of these five material elements, out of which our body is formed and by which it lives, what a wealth of the products of the earth and water, and all these are chiefly for the use of man, the king of creatures. Thanks be to Thee, our Creator, glory to Thee, our Providence and our Redeemer, who has created us after Thine own image and likeness, and has deigned to take up nature, our nature, upon Thyself. And what does the true wealth of a man consist? In his image and likeness to God, and not in lands, nor money, neither in various earthly sciences or arts and arts, nor in the property of various kinds, nor in many servants, nor in many clothes, nor in general in the multitude of earthly blessings. For all these are corruptible and temporary, whilst the soul, the image of God, is eternal, and its riches are virtue, holiness, humility, gentleness, temperance in all things, faith, hope, and love. When I gaze in the meditation of the faith upon the holy icons in the church and upon all the appurtenances, and then I am lost in wonderful contemplation. The whole temple appears to me to be a sacred history in action, a wonderful scripture of the works of God accomplished in the human race. Here I see the history in action of our fall and of our restoration by God's wonderful ordering and our elevation to the Lord's incarnation, our being made godly and our exaltation into heaven. Here I picture to myself the archangel Gabriel announcing the birth of the Son of God to the Virgin of the Virgin. Here I see the birth itself of the child God, the Virgin Mother, the manger in Bethlehem. Here is the circumcision. There is the baptism. Further, it is and the meeting of child God in the temple by Simeon. There is the transfiguration of our Lord and the effusion of light in Mount Tabor. There the entrance into Jerusalem of the righteous Savior, meek King, the Lord's Supper, and the institution of the all-saving sacrament of the Holy Communion. There are the all-saving sufferings of the Lord of glory. I see as though it were Golgotha itself, and the Lord crucified for the sins of the world. And I see the descent into hell of the conqueror of hell, and the deliverance of the captives of hell, his resurrection, ascension into heavens, all for the sake of mankind and for my sake. In the church, I am lost in divine contemplation and thank the Lord for having so greatly loved me, for having so greatly honored and blessed me. But when I look within myself, in my own heart, my God, what do I see? I see an abyss of voluntary and involuntary sins, an abyss of infirmities, temptations, afflictions, oppressions, fears, snares of the enemy, impenetrable darkness, thousands of falls, thousands of destructions and deaths. Sometimes I see within myself the very hell itself. The whole power, character, and craftiness of the devil's temptations to men consists in the fact that he has enticed and entices, has enticed and entices men to love the world and that which is in it, the vain wisdom of the world, riches, glory, distinctions, earthly delights, and to turn away from God, from the heavenly kingdom and bliss, to love vain earthly things, to strive to invent and acquire as many of them as possible, and to despise the soul and its real requirements, to love the flesh, its health, color, beauty, carnal sensuality, and to hate the soul, that is virtue, to forget the immortality of the soul, its prototype, God, so that it should not even think of immortality and of the way that leads to immortality of God and of union with Him. Blessed are the saints of God who despised the world and loved God, who despised the flesh and diligently cared for their souls, for that which is eternal. How pitiful, how accursed are we who love the world and its vain blessings, who cherish the flesh and despise the soul. If some Christians cannot comprehend our Orthodox faith, its mysteries, it proves that the minds and the hearts of such persons are too impure and passionate to bear its purity and brightness, just as sick eyes cannot bear the light of the sun. This heavenly treasure can only be comprehended by the hearts of those who free their mind and feelings from worldly attachments. If all pastors or priests of God and their flock prayed sincerely, if all pastors or priests of God and their flocks prayed sincerely and unanimously, with one accord by means of those prayers which the Church utters aloud to us or says secretly, then what should we not entreat of God? What blessings should we not obtain from what sins and passions, evil misfortunes and disasters should we not be saved? Those prayers in the most wise, expedient, most pleasing to God, the most powerful and capable of inclining the Lord to do every mercy. May the Lord grant to us all to pray to Him unanimously, sincerely, powerfully, undistractedly. Glory be to God.